So we're coming to the final session of the success talk. And of course, there are two verses which we'll first chant, and then we'll carry on. We're now getting in very advanced stages of devotional service, and are you ready? Yugyaitam nimissena chakshusa pravisayitam sunjayitam jagatsarvam govinda virahe name. My Lord Govinda, because of separation from you, I consider even a moment a great millennium. Tears flow from my eyes like torrents of rain, and I see the entire world as voyager. So this translation is a little different from the one in the songbook. I think you're noticing that, because it says, see the entire world as vacant. I consider even a moment like 12 years or more. Yeah? So anyway, this is also Srila Prabhupada's translation from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And then in the next verses, see what happens is Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is writing the final chapter of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And there he describes the success stick. And in that final chapter, it is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself who is giving a commentary on the success stick. And I'm reading that also, and that's why I'm following the Chaitanya Charitamrita. In my agitation, a day never ends. For every moment seems like a millennium. Pouring incessant tears, my eyes are like clouds in the rainy sky. The three worlds have become void because of separation from Govinda. I feel as if I were burning alive in a slow fire. Lord Krishna has become indifferent to me. Just to test my love, and my friends say, better to disregard him. While Srimati Radharani was thinking in this way, the characteristics of natural love became manifest because of her pure heart. The ecstatic symptoms of envy, great eagerness, humility, zeal, and supplication all became manifest at once. In that mood, the mind of Srimati Radharani was agitated, and therefore she spoke a verse of advanced devotion to her gopi friends. In the same spirit of ecstasy, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recited that verse, and as soon as he did so, he felt like Srimati Radharani. And now we chant the verse. Asrishyava padartham pinastumam adarsanam namatam karutuva yatata vidadatalam patu matprananatastu saivanapara. Okay. Let Krishna tightly embrace this maidservant who has fallen at his lotus feet, or let him trample me or break my heart by never being visible to me. He's a debauchee after all, and can do whatever he likes, but still he alone and no one else is the worshipable Lord of my heart. Careful with tools, you know. Hey. Huh?
Yes, student.
Yeah, no, he's
Balaka.
A devotee, no doubt. Yeah. Mayapur Basi. Nice. It's the Kirtan village needs a horse also. A cow.
I'm not sure. Because there's a lot of things that come out of him
at the back. Oh, I see.
That is good.
I see.
We'll see.
I see. Start with a cow. Huh? Just a moment. The weather. So,
the peacocks.
peacocks you'll have. So back to Lord Chaitanya, who was experiencing deep symptoms of ecstasy, great symptoms of eagerness, and who was deeply meditating on the love of Srimati Radharani, and so much so that he virtually heard her speak a particular verse and then he repeated it, and that's that last verse, so it is described. So that is actually what happens in the advanced stages of devotional service. It is described that by Srila Prabodhananda Saraswati, he was the uncle of Gopal Bhatta Goswami from South India. He was a sannyasi and he was very learned, and he wrote this book, amazing book, Chaitanya Chandramrita. And that book is like very ecstatic, right? I mean, it's like he just has such a vision of the mercy of Lord Chaitanya just flooding the entire world and so on. And at one point in the book, he describes how in the stage of bhava, Krishna appears in the meditation. So that's a big thing. I mean, so far we are meditating on Krishna, and it's us who are trying to focus the mind on Krishna. We're trying to think of Krishna, we're trying to visualize Krishna, we're trying to somehow or other keep that mind with Krishna. We imagine Krishna, yellow dhoti, darkish complexion, like a rain cloud, effulgent lotus eyes, and so on, shark-shaped earrings, blackish bluish hair, eyes like restless bumblebees, all these things we're trying to visualize. But in bhava, one actually sees Krishna actually appears, and Krishna will he will act, he will do things. So this is what we see in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was actually seeing Krishna. He was seeing Radharani in this case, and hearing her verse and just repeating that verse. That verse is about unconditional devotional service. It is about not desiring any other reward from devotional service. It's about doing devotional service to Krishna and not desiring anything else but Krishna, because Krishna is the best. So why would we approach Krishna, "Oh Krishna, give me peace of mind"? What's the value of peace of mind when there's not Krishna, right? Peace of mind will not do, right? Peace of mind is not sufficient when Krishna is not part of it. Too loud, huh?
No, too much trouble.
Too much trouble, okay. So, in that way, we can think for a moment that nothing, Radharani wants nothing but Krishna. Krishna, so even when Krishna is not treating her properly, and it doesn't diminish her love for Krishna at all, even if he is not paying attention to her, still her love is not diminishing, not affected, not disappearing. And that is a definition of love, that love that does not disappear even when there are opposing circumstances. So a love that's not based, a love based on sense gratification is, as long as my senses are nicely gratified, as long as this relationship is pleasing to me, I want it. But when this relationship is no longer pleasing to me, then, go away, I'm trading you in, for a new model that just came out. Upgrade. So that is material. But spiritual love is unconditional. It cannot be exchanged for anything else, because there's nothing greater than Krishna. That's the point. There's nothing that one could ask Krishna for other than Krishna. We can only ask, therefore we only ask Krishna for devotional service to Him, because there's nothing else you can ask from Krishna. What else is can compare to Krishna? What is it? Try and think of something. It's not there. So that is the first point. Now, we're talking about this topic of prema, and I was thinking that Srila Prabhupada wasn't really talking about prema so much. We don't hear Srila Prabhupada often addressing prema. Prabhupada rather was more speaking about going back to Godhead. Even in the scriptures, Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said, prema pumarta mahan, or that the ultimate goal of human life is to attain Krishna prema. But Prabhupada was speaking about going back to Godhead, somehow or other. We should desire to go back to Godhead. We should try to go back to Godhead. He called his magazine Back to Godhead. Everything Back to Godhead. So why is it that in our movement there's so much emphasis on back to Godhead rather than on Krishna prema? That's the question. The reason, I will tell you, maybe we'll begin with the Chaitanya Bhagavat, where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was invited by various brahmanas, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that he could not accept any invitation from anyone who was not a Lakpati. So, a Lakpati meant who has 100,000. So 500 years ago, to have 100,000 was like incredible amount of money, you know. I mean, it was inconceivable. No one, very few people were Lakpatis, you know, 500 years ago. So none of the brahmanas was a Lakpati, and so they all were disappointed. But then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained what he meant. He didn't mean 1 lakh or 100,000 rupees. He meant 100,000 names. Anyone who does not chant 100,000 names, I will not accept his offering, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. So that particular passage of the Chaitanya Bhagavat is the foundation of chanting 64 rounds. It is that where it comes from. It's there where it is stated. And thus the Gaudiyas are trying to chant 64 rounds. And when Srila Prabhupada started his movement and initiated the devotees, Prabhupada never asked anyone to chant, how many rounds they were going to chant or what principles they would follow. That he wrote on a piece of paper, at least, and he hung that on the blackboard, on the board, the notice board, the next day. Now, as far as the rounds, there was a discussion. The Prabhupada mentioned that yes, now after initiation, you should actually chant 64 rounds. And they looked at Prabhupada like, 64 rounds? So Umapati, six, that's impossible. Prabhupada looked at him and could see it is impossible. So Prabhupada said, okay, 32. Umapati's eyes were rolling in his head and he's like, look, like 32. Okay, 25. All right, 16 no less is what Prabhupada then said. Now, what happened there is a very interesting thing, because basically what happened is that Srila Prabhupada, he just lowered the number of rounds to 16. Was that all he did? Oh no, that was not all he did. Actually, Prabhupada prayed. He prayed to Krishna on the strength of all the service he had done for Krishna. One can approach Krishna when one has done service, because devotional service is Sri Krishna Akarsani. It attracts Krishna. So Krishna, being attracted by Prabhupada's service, became purchased by Prabhupada. And therefore, when Prabhupada lowered the rounds to 16 rounds, it was accompanied by his prayer. And that prayer was that somehow or other, still give them the full mercy. Yeah? See, sometimes, have you also heard, if you go across the river, you get your initiation cheaper. You only have to pay 4 rounds. Not much. Here you got to pay 16, but there you get it for 4 rounds. Yeah. Gee, why would you pay 16 if you can get it for 4? Huh? Yeah. Get a boat, you know, and yeah, cross the river. Yes, why not? No. On this side of the river, yes, 16, and they sell for 4, but not the same thing. They sell what you call the slow boat to China for 4. Yes, it's an English expression, the slow boat to China, right? But it basically means it's taking a long, long time. You know, that takes a long time. So that's what, for 4 rounds, at least you have a connection with the Sampradaya. But you're not on the This Life Back to Godhead program. But with 16 rounds minimum for regulator principles, you are on the This Life Back to Godhead program. You see the difference. So see, like, that's something extraordinary. Therefore, what Prabhupada gave us is he gave us the full benefit, the full results, but for a lower price. He lowered the threshold, and he compensated for it with his credit with Krishna. Right? Prabhupada had so much credit with Krishna that he simply asked Krishna, and then how could Krishna say no? Spiritual relationships work on that principle. They work on the principle of credit, of sukriti. They work on the principle of service. And when service has been rendered, then naturally there is a sense of indebtedness. Oh, you have done such nice service. Oh, how can I ignore it? Krishna, it is described in the Nectar of Devotion. Krishna says, whenever I'm thinking of Draupadi, when I'm thinking of how she was there in the assembly of the Kurus, and how they tried to pull off her cloth, and then at one point, first she was holding on, but then she let go, because what could she do? And then she just threw her arms up in the air and called out, "Hey Govinda." And when she called out, "Hey Govinda," Krishna says, whenever I'm remembering that, my appreciation for Draupadi is increasing. So this is depicting that sense where Krishna feels becomes purchased, purchased in appreciation. So in that way, Prabhupada could make these kind of adjustments on the strength of his personal sacrifice, which was so great that therefore Krishna was ready to go along with it. And on the strength of that, the full benefit by chanting 16 rounds and following 4 regulative principles, one will go back to Godhead. And then Srila Prabhupada said it in Portland. And then he said, I guarantee it, I guarantee it, I guarantee it, three times, according to Dinabandhu's memories. Right? In the Prabhupada memories, books and videos, you will find it. Three times, Prabhupada said, I guarantee it, I guarantee it. If you say, yeah, but that's someone's memory, I'm still not satisfied. Okay, no problem. If you don't believe a human being, then you will surely believe a machine. Ah, then we have Prabhupada's recorded conversations. And where Prabhupada, in a lecture, Prabhupada said about, he said the situation about Hiranyakasipu and Lord Nrisimhadev. And we remember that Hiranyakasipu performed so many austerities. At one point he stood on his toes with his arms upraised in the air. That was it. And the ants were eating his body. And he just kept the bones standing. And still kept his life air within his bones. And then Lord Brahma appeared on his swan carrier. And Lord Brahma carried his kamandalu, his water pot. And from that water pot, Lord Brahma threw some drops of water on the body of Hiranyakasipu, which then became rejuvenated and very beautiful. Young and fresh and strong and everything. And Lord Brahma said, you have performed so much austerities. Would you like a benediction? Yes, I do. What would you like? Immortality, please. Lord Brahma said, how can I give what I don't have? Please, ask another boon. And then, Hiranyakasipu, who was so intelligent and so sharp, like a lawyer, systematically asked for benedictions, yes, that I may not be killed by any man or any animal, that I may not be killed nor in the day nor in the night, that I may not be killed not inside nor outside, that I may not be killed by any weapon, and like that, a long list, longer than what I just present to you now. And then Lord Nrisimhadev appeared from the pillar, and he was half man, half lion, and all these things, and he killed Hiranyakasipu in the doorway. So it was not inside, it was not outside. He killed him on his lap, so it was not on the earth, it was not in the sky. He killed him with his nails, so it was not with any weapon. He upheld the words of Lord Brahma. Prabhupada said, yes, in his comment. Prabhupada says, yes, Risi Uchu. Whatever the saintly personality says, Krishna will uphold those words. And then Prabhupada continues and says, and when the saintly personality says that when you chant 16 rounds and follow four regulative principles, you will go back to Godhead, then you must go. He says, you must go. You can find that in the folio, right? And so on, recorded. So, like this, you can see this kind of evidence where Srila Prabhupada is clearly stating 16 rounds means back to Godhead plus 4x. Back to Godhead, back to the spiritual world. And yes, but what about Krishna Prem? Now, if you don't have Krishna Prem and you come back to Godhead, I mean, how's it going to be? You know, this one sour person sitting there in the spiritual world, sort of like, you know. I don't know if I like it here, you know. It's always the same, you know what I mean? I mean, cows and calves and everything, you know. Gosh, you know. I mean, you know, I'm from the city, you know, personally. I mean, cows, you know. I mean, it's like, you don't want to get too close, is it? And you got to got to milk him, you know, and then all this churning of all the butter and all that, you know. And they throw it around on your clothes. I mean, you like that, you know. If they throw butter on my clothes, I get upset, you know what I mean? Things like this, right? There's this one sour person in the spiritual world because this one didn't have Krishna Prem yet and went back to Godhead. You really think it's like that? That wouldn't make sense, would it? So, but how about it then? If you don't have Krishna Prem and you go back to Godhead, then what do? You chant 16 rounds and follow four regulated principles faithfully for life, and then you go back. But Krishna Prem you didn't have yet. So what happens? You'll get it on the way. Latest at the gate of Vaikuntha. Latest. Latest at the gate of the spiritual world. It will be given by grace, by mercy. The mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. See? And therefore, this is very interesting. Let us read some books about the intimate pastimes of Krishna. Some intimate Astakaliya Lila maybe. The different pastimes that Krishna performs at different times of the day and night. Let's look for an intimate Lila. Well, I like especially the Nisanta Lila. Because in that one, the divine couple are just at the end of the night of their loving exchanges. And we get the full picture. Such books sound interesting. Yes, I'd like to read those. Yes, that's good. We can read them, but how far can we go? Books about the loving exchanges of Krishna and the gopis in Madhurya Ras, how can we understand? We can maybe follow them from the point of view of tattva, that we can philosophically understand what's going on here. Here's a loving exchange between Supreme Lord and his devotee. It's an expression of pure transcendental loving devotional service, but we cannot feel it because we don't have such love. So just like children cannot understand the amorous exchanges between adults, it's not possible, you know, even if they hear about it, they cannot fully understand it. They hear it, but they don't fully understand. In the same way, we hear about these exchanges, but we cannot fully understand because we don't have that love. Here in the material world, love has become shallow. Our feelings in the material world are described as dull. I'm so much in love. It's nothing compared to the spiritual world. See, here. I mean, even if you can't eat for 3 days, that's nothing, man, compared to the love of the spiritual world. That is on another level of depth, of intensity. So we cannot understand. Curiosity, all right, that's one thing. We can have a look, but we can have a look at the Rasika literature, but we cannot enter. Again, like yesterday, we don't have the adhikar. Because we don't have the emotions yet. But there's Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Padayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Guru Tvishanama. He is the most magnanimous incarnation. He is widely distributing this, the topmost to the most fallen. He's giving Krishna Prem to the most fallen. Okay, but what about that? Is it happening? You know, we look around and we see, like, who has actually that Krishna prema? Who's like rolling in ecstasy on the ground? You know, tears are shooting from the eyes in all directions, like from a syringe, you know, and like, and just from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's body, so many tears, so many tears. Everyone said, where's all this water coming from? It's just like inconceivable, you know what I mean? Liters and liters. There was a drain in the temple in Puri, and there was a current of water from the tears of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The whole stream, literal. I mean, okay, there's only so much water in the human body. And it must have all come out by now in the form of tears. How can he cry so much? How is this possible? So anyway, symptoms of love of God, where are they? Where do we see them? Who has them? And yet, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is described as the most magnanimous, giving love of God to all. Ah, yes, yes, yes. Then you go to Vrindavan. Yeah? And there is a devotee you used to know, but these days, he has a little beard. And these days, he lives at Radhakund. And he knows one Baba. And this Baba is not an ordinary Baba. No. This Baba is a Parama Prista Priya Shakhi. Yeah, just see. A Parama Prista Priya Shakhi is like one of the very prominent, very dear most Sakis of Krishna. And if your guru is not a Parama Prista Priya Shakhi, says the devotee with the little beard, then how can you attain Krishna prema? How about that? Shouldn't he be a Parama Prista Priya Shakhi, who has like all that prema himself to give the prema? Well, there are different paths. There is a path that takes us to Vrindavan. And if we take that path to Vrindavan, we will find that Vrindavan is very sweet. But we will also find that it is Tapobhumi. We also will find that it is known as the place of tapasya. In deep sleep, don't lean. We can see that it is also the place of tapasya. And there are the leelas of Krishna. And oh yes, we are ready. Let us chant the 64. Why only 16? 64. We will chant. And with 64, yes, we will show who we are. 64 rounds we chant. 1 meal a day. No sweets. No? And we will chant, and we will hear about these, about Krishna's Ras Lila pastimes, his Astakadiya Lila. We will hear, and by hearing, we will awaken attachment. By hearing, slowly, our natural taste will awaken. Oh yes, this is a path. The path to Vrindavan. It is a difficult path. It takes time. One is hearing, one is chanting, and still not there. And carry on faithfully. No deviation, carry on this path. But can I do it? It's so austere, it's so hot in the summer. I melt. It's just extreme, 51 degrees. My brain starts to boil. Keep on chanting, 64. Oh, I am too exhausted. I need to sleep. This heat paralyzes me. Chant 64. Oh, put your head in a bucket of water. But the water is warm. Everything is warm. The walls are warm. The floor is hot. The Yamuna is warm. Oh, the heat. Mayapur, now winter time. Mayapur is getting fresh. I looked this morning. Mayapur, 19 degrees. Not so fresh. 19. Vrindavan, 9 right now. Right now, Vrindavan, 9. 9 is getting nippy, especially when there's no heating and when there's lots of marble and you know, and when the wind blows right through everywhere, right? It's not like a house in, you know, in the West where there's, you know, it's sealed, the wind doesn't come in, there is heating, you know, and outside it's minus 30 and you laugh at it. No, it's not like that. First it gets cold on the skin, then the blood cools down, and then it gets to the bones. The bones begin it goes inside the bones, and oh God, thoroughly cold. I lived there. I experienced. There was one place in the winter that was very, very popular. The kitchen. Because there was a fire. Everyone would be in the kitchen. Somehow or other. There's a lot of devotees in the kitchen. It's the only warm place. Oh, gosh. Yes. Is it ever nice weather in Vrindavan? It is. Exactly 2 times 3 weeks a year. That's it, you know, in spring and in autumn. 2 times 3 weeks. And even then at the beginning of that and at the end you have to be careful because it's just a change of seasons and it's hot in the day and cold at night and that's when you really catch something. Anyway, so tapasya, but chant your 64 rounds and keep on hearing. Keep on hearing. Yeah, but is this a bona fide? Now I want to know, is this bona fide? Can one just hear such pastimes and so on when we are not yet so advanced? Is this bona fide? Well, it's not. There is another path. There is another path. It is a path that comes via Sridhar Mayapur. It is a path that comes via Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his representatives, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. They came and brought that mercy of Gauranga. Now we don't consider anymore if someone is serious or someone is not serious. In Vrindavan, you have to be serious. It is said in Vrindavan, stay 3 days, stay 3 months, or stay 30 years. If you cannot follow everything perfectly, stay 3 days, and for 3 days you follow everything nicely. If you can follow spiritual standards, stay 3 months. And if you can tolerate it, stay 30 years. Then, but then you must be pure. Then you must be pure. That is Vrindavan. Strict. Krishna is not cheap. It is so sweet, the pastimes of Krishna, but so hard to enter. Lakshmi Devi could not enter. She tried. She performed austerity, could not enter. Lord Shiva came, disguised as a gopi, and Krishna said, Lord Shiva, I was just looking for you. So many intruders are trying to get into the Rasa dance. Could you please stand as guard? Thank you so much for the service, my Lord. Lord Shiva could not enter. Lord Brahma, he lives for a very long time. For a very long time. From the very beginning of the universe till the very, very end, disillusioned Lord Brahma lives. And Lord Brahma, so he lives 100 years of his time. So Lord Brahma, his years are very, very long. He spent 60,000 of his years meditating on the dust of the lotus feet of the gopis, and he still could not understand the dust at the lotus feet of the gopis. That was a long meditation, and he's very intelligent. And he thinks with four heads, you know, simultaneously. So he's like, you know, actually you can multiply those years by four, right? It's like, so long he thought, he meditated, and yet he could not enter into Vrindavan. So how difficult to enter into Vrindavan. And yet we go to Vrindavan, and the sweetness of Vrindavan is coming through the covering. It's coming through the covering of Yoga Maya. It comes through. We're experiencing it. Oh, so sweet. Oh yes. And inspiration. And yes, we get some taste. Chaya bhav, shadow reflection, something that keeps us going for a while. But not the actual bhav. Not that actual bhav where you stay there, and where the experience is so deep and intense that all material impediments disappear. But chaya bhav, yes, the shadow reflection of the Dham, yes, we absorb. And thus, we are there, and it's inspiring, but not so inspiring that everything disappears. It is still hot, there are still flies and smell and the traffic and the rickshaws, and the loudspeakers are just too loud. Those horns, you know, they have in India are just inconceivable, you know. I mean, the traffic is just like, the dust, you know what I'm saying? Oh, God. The India blues is intense. So, we are not completely there in that holy dome. But then, so there's the Vrindavan path. It's not easy. Not easily attained. The other path, the Mayapur path. The path of Sankirtan. The path of simply chanting the holy name. Simply. Oh yes, it will change everything. Even if the principles are still not fully fixed. Even then, the holy name will act. And once the principles are fixed, then the holy name will really act. And just the kirtan, that will carry us, just that kirtan. See, but in Vrindavan there's also kirtan. No, yes, but it came from here. It's Mahaprabhu kirtan and Richa Gita Vaditra Madan Manasu. It is the Mahaprabhu's kirtan. We sing every morning. It's Mahaprabhu's kirtan that we are bringing there. It is the Prem kirtan that the followers of Mahaprabhu are performing. That is described in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that kirtan that didn't exist before. No one had ever seen Prem Sankirtan. When the devotees of Mahaprabhu came to Jagannath Puri and they started Prem Sankirtan, people came running from everywhere because they'd never ever seen such kirtan. That didn't exist, such Prem Sankirtan. They'd never seen it. And they were amazed. Amazed to see the dancing, amazed to see the fun, amazed to see the the spontaneity. You know, just how people were chanting and just... And then someone else was taking it. One person jumps in a particular way. 10 others jump in the same way. All this, it's not just a stereotype. Whatever happens in a kirtan, it's like you never know what's going to happen. That's the excitement of the kirtan. Because, you know, now I'm winding down a little bit, but like in the temple we have these big kirtans, and then, like, you know, they just go into another dimension. And then the last time it was just amazing how these Bengalis were dancing. Gosh, they were like, it was something else. They were wild. But coordinated at the same time. Wild and coordinated. That's what it was. It was impressive. So like this, we're coming through Mayapur, we're coming through the kirtan. Here, it is not considered whether one is qualified or not. In Vrindavan, if there is a trace of Anartha, no adhikar, cannot enter, no entry signs every step of the way. It will remain hidden. The pastimes of Krishna are covered by darkness. It is said that when Krishna is walking with his cows and calves and cowherd boys as returning from the forest, the hoofs of those cows and calves are throwing up so much dust, and that dust cloud creates a darkness, and thus the pastimes of Krishna are hidden through darkness. What we see of them is amazing. Jewel thrones, effulgent bodies, dancing, swirling. The other day, the Rasa dance we were reading, the demigods came to watch. And they were given the grace to see, that is, but the male demigods, they could only see Krishna. They could not see the gopis. No adhikar. See, so Vrindavan is like that. Everything depends on adhikar, on grace, on what grace one receives for Krishna. And Krishna, he doesn't give very easily. So, and who has that qualification? Here, not qualified, doesn't matter. Enter into the pastimes of Mahaprabhu. Yeah, but what about Raganuga? Don't worry. Raganuga is also coming. It enters into the pastimes of Mahaprabhu. Narottam Das Thakur is explaining, if you enter into the pastimes of Mahaprabhu, then you will dive into the ocean of the pastimes of Mahaprabhu and you surface in the pastimes of Krishna. So it will come. Automatically, you dive into this kirtan and it will just take us to another level. Oh, here we are in the kirtan academy. This is not an academy. That word academy is just an excuse to attract the Western, the modern conditioned mind that likes these sort of terminology of education. It's just a trick. I mean, really, the people who organized this, they couldn't care less about words like academy, you know, academy. It sounds like influenza, academy, some epidemic, you know.
Like it should have walls.
It should have walls, you know. Gosh, no, that's not the issue. It's the kirtan that's really what it's about. It's about kirtan. It's a gateway into the kirtan, to dive into the kirtan of Mahaprabhu. And who is leading the way? Prabhupada. Prabhupada is saying, enter this kirtan and you'll go back to Godhead. Don't worry, Krishna Prem. Yes, yes, don't worry. Yeah, but what about Krishna Prem? What about the Parama Prista Priya Sakhi? What about, you know, Vraj, Vraj, Vraj Shabakti, Vrajabha, Vraja Leela, Vraja Rani? Oh, oh, oh. Rade, Rade. What about all this? Don't worry. Don't worry. One day. Mahaprabhu will just transport you there. Naturally, he is dancing, and his dancing is just amazing. Amazing. Mahaprabhu dances beyond what anyone could do. He jumped higher than others, and he crashed to the ground in such ecstasy. Everyone thought he broke all his bones, but he never did. Then he jumped up again. Nityananda would catch him on the way. Mahaprabhu would swirl around so fast. And Mahaprabhu danced in front of Ratha Yatra in Puri, and Mahaprabhu was chanting, Jaga, Jaga, Jaga. What is going on with Mahaprabhu? Why is he chanting Jaga, Jaga, Jaga? He is in the mood of Radharani. He is bringing Krishna back to Vrindavan, bringing back to this most intimate exchanges, not limited by any formality, but intimate and close and completely based, pure from the heart. No ritual. No ritual. Today, we are ritualistically worshipping the Supreme Lord. No! No ritual, Mahaprabhu. No. Vrindavan. In the heart. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, my mind is Vrindavan. My mind is Vrindavan. And I know, now speaking in the mood of Radharani, I know that you like Vrindavan. So, why don't you put your lotus feet there in that Vrindavan? That is my request. Ah, yes. Lord Chaitanya said, for most, the heart and the mind are the same. Whatever's in the heart's on the mind, it's the same. Oh, yes. Whatever we think about, it's the same. I have a picture of a cartoon, and it shows it shows some devotees on an airport, you know, and then the devotees, they have mirdangas and kartals, but they stand to the side, and on the other side there's a group of people, and they are dancing, right, and they are like chanting Apple computer, and they're in ecstasy, right. And the devotees stand there, hey, this is our turf, you know what I mean? It's a cult, says another devotee. It's a cartoon. Yes, it's a sect. Mm. So, people are so carried away by so many other things, by the glitter of this world. Mm. But in Vrindavan, we have to push ourselves to Krishna. Now, this lecture I have given two paths, a path through Vrindavan and a path through Mayapur. Yeah. the path of Lord Chaitanya and the path of going to Krishna directly, to Vrindavan, to his pastimes. And of course, somehow or other, I had the good fortune of thinking about this for a long time, because I joined in Vrindavan and I stayed there for a long time, and later I shifted to Mayapur because I had service here, and then I shifted back to Vrindavan, and then later again I got service in Mayapur. In between I traveled around the world, but somehow or other, quite Mayapur, Vrindavan are very central in my life. Then you may say, well, it was interesting, but sounds like maybe too free form, you know, I mean, not enough slokas to, or what's the shastric basis of all this, you know what I'm saying? That's my question. Now, I want to know, right? I mean, Maharaj, if I may ask this question, please. What is the shastric basis of what you have been talking about? Well, that's a very good question. I thank you for bringing that up. I never thought of that myself, but you know, the fact that you're bringing it up, I really appreciate. No, I do, you know. It's important. Important point, not to be overlooked. What about the Shastra? Well, let me turn to a book written by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Jiva Dharma. Yeah, but that's not... Is that Shastra? That's Bhaktivinoda Thakur's book. Is that Shastra? Well, you know, Srila Prabhupada said that the books and the sayings of the acharyas like Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Srila Narayan Das Thakur are as good as Shastra. Okay, so that settles that, you know. And then Jiva Dharma. In Jiva Dharma, there is an interesting passage towards the end of the book where the secretary of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is known as Swarup Damodar Goswami, this secretary of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a mysterious personality, because he is a very big authority amongst the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is virtually speaking, as the secretary of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he can pull rank on any devotee, and he does sometimes, but most of the time he's not like in the front. He's somehow or other working from the back. Sometimes he comes out to the front. But you read the Chaitanya Charitamrita and you check out how much Swarup Damodar Goswami is there, and you see he's working from the back. He's there in the background. But he's the secretary and the authority. And as the secretary, his job is not to make appointments, you know, or to manage, you know, like, well, but it is a fact, you cannot see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu without seeing him first. But it's not so much about time, it's not that Swarup Damodar says, sorry, but you know, Mahaprabhu really has no time, you know, he has a lot of people today, you know, but I've got a slot for you on Wednesday from... 12 to 1, right? Okay, very good. No, that's not the job.
An academy sound system.
Yeah. It's out now. I can take more distance. Tell me what's wrong and I'll behave better. The sound system will not behave better. I can behave better by keeping distance of the mic or sitting next to the mic. What do you want? What's wrong?
I guess it's good.
Okay. So, I didn't lose my point, so it's not a problem. The job of the secretary is not just to make appointments. The job of the secretary of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is to decide who is qualified to meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally. And he's testing everyone to see who can come and if they're worthy for some reason. And he's asking what they want to talk about. What, so there's many, many people wanted to present their writings to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because, you see, the reason is that, I wrote this poem or this book, and Mahaprabhu liked it very much. You know, I read it to him, you know, and he really relished it a lot. You know, the fame of your book is immediately established, right? So you can understand a lot of people were coming with that in mind. So Swarup Damodar was making sure that whatever was coming to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was philosophically correct, and if not, he would reject it. So just to establish that Swarup Damodar is like such a great spiritual authority in the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's like the guru practically of all the devotees, one of the gurus at least. Of course there are Rupa and Sanatan, and there's Ramananda Roy, but Swarup Damodar Goswami, as we are finding out from a book from Kavi Karnapur, and also in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that is quoted, Kavi Karnapur wrote the Gaura Ganadesh Deepika, and that's an interesting book. And one of the functions of the Gaura Ganadesh Deepika, it is a who is who. Who in Chaitanya Leela? Well, who is that person in Krishna Leela? Because when Krishna comes as Gauranga and Balaram comes as Nityananda, then all the associates also come. So who is who? Who are these associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Krishna Leela? And who is Swarup Damodar? Swarup Damodar is identified as Lalita. So that is interesting. Lalita, indeed, who is the guru? Lalita is actually, if you read about Lalita, Lalita is older than Srimati Radharani. Oh yes. It's not very much older, but older nonetheless. And because she's older, she has won over Srimati Radharani, so to speak, you know. There is Guru Tattva. Let's go to Vrindavan for a moment. You know, why not? A little bit. Radhe. You know. A little bit of Raj, you know. So, yes, it is said that Lalita is in a left-wing mood. And that means always rebellious in relation to Krishna, opposing Krishna and exposing Krishna for being an unreliable debauchee, a lampato, one who has no loyalty. Where is his love? Oh Radharani, you are giving yourself to this wretch. Yes? Somehow or other, you've given your heart to him, but I'm telling you, he is cheating you. He's cheating you. And I have the proof. Because Chandravak and all that, he was seen near the groves of Chandravali. He was seen there last night. Okay, it's a whole thing. So then Srimati Radharani goes in a state of man, a state of anger, a state of being a huff and a puff, so to speak, a state of being upset, and she refuses to speak to Krishna. And then Krishna, of course, is suffering tremendously. in that and starts to repent, and what have I done? And I actually only went there to Chandravali's side to increase the attachment of Srimati Radharani. I had really no other intention. My love for her is pure and unadulterated, and I cannot tolerate this abstinence much longer, and I hope that somehow or other she will understand my heart and that she will again, you know, accept me. And Radharani, she understands. And Radharani accepts. But Lalita is still there. No way. She doesn't give permission. And Radha and Krishna cannot meet because Lalita is not giving permission. But then Rupa Manjari, who is the intimate assistant of Lalita, she goes to Lalita and says, actually Radha and Krishna want to meet. They want to meet. Yes, actually they want to meet. Oh, then it's okay. Then again, Lalita's permission is there. Radha and Krishna can meet. So Lalita has this kind of guru tattva position. She is like guru. She is, when she doesn't authorize, and not working. So Rupa Damodar has that position amongst the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In Jiva Dharma, towards the end of the book, there is a discussion between Sarup Damodar Goswami and two personalities. And one is Raghunath Das Goswami. The other one is Gopal Guru Goswami. Raghunath Das Goswami. How extraordinary is Raghunath Das? He comes from such a wealthy family. His father was making as much as about 12 lakhs a month, 1.2 million rupees a month. Even nowadays, that would be quite a good income. So in those 500 years ago, the wealth of the family was inconceivable. And somehow or other, the son of this rich man was attracted to join the Hare Krishna movement. I mean, let's be frank, there are limits, you know what I'm saying? They gave him the most beautiful wife you could possibly find, but his mind was not into it. He just wasn't there, and he was again and again running away from home and behaving like a madman. The mother said, "We should tie him up." The father said, "Look, our son has the wealth, the wealth of the demigods. I gave him the most beautiful wife." Right? Says, all that could not bind him. You think that rope can bind him? And eventually, Raghunath Das left and escaped, and this time for good. And this time he didn't go to the east, where Mahaprabhu was in Puri. He went to the south. And he went a long way around in a route that just through jungle and back roads, and somehow or other he made it to Puri and joined Mahaprabhu's mission. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu put Raghunath Das under the care of Sarup Damodar Goswami. Yes. And Raghunath Das then was learning from Sarup Damodar Goswami the process of Antaranga Bhakti. So Antaranga Seva, the serving in one's eternal, internal identity. Not in this identity that we have now, but he was learning how to serve in the eternal spiritual identity. Right? And later, Gopal Guru Goswami Gopal Guru Goswami, even as a boy, was extraordinary. Gopal Guru Goswami, he is that boy who saw that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he would go into the forest carrying his lota, which is the traditional way of, you know, answering the call of nature, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would enter into the forest like that, Gopal saw that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was holding his tongue with his finger. So he asked, he's a boy, he said, "Why are you holding your tongue?" Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "I am going to, you know, answer that call of nature, and you know, it's a contaminated activity. So my tongue is always chanting, it chants automatically. So I'm trying to stop it from chanting so that, you know, in that contaminated place I will not chant the sacred Mahamantra." Gopal said, "That doesn't make sense. That doesn't make sense. We can die any moment. What if we die at that time? And then we're not chanting? No. No. That doesn't make sense," he said. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very pleased and said, "Gopal, Gopal, Gopal, you are Guru." From that day on, that boy was known as Gopal Guru and later became Gopal Guru Goswami. So both Raghunath Das and Gopal Guru Goswami met with Sarup Damodar Goswami, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is describing. And a discussion unfolded on this topic of awakening.
Awakening, the spiritual identity. I have a material body.
So the spiritual identity, yes, and then it is described that Sarup Damodar Goswami gave two pathways, and he gave Raghunath Das the process of just automatically awakening that identity. And he gave Gopal Guru Goswami the process of consciously cultivating that identity. And these are the two paths that I'm discussing today. The path of automatic revelation is the path of Harinam Sankirtan. It is the path of just taking shelter of the Holy Name, and the Holy Name will carry us. And Chaitanya Charitamrita describes that when whatever you receive from the Name, you give to others, then what will happen? I have a story which I've made up, but it's like this. When we join the Hare Krishna movement, you do not just get your japa mala and your neck beads and all that, no. You also get a little cup, tiny little cup. This is your nectar cup, but it's very small. So, you know, but okay, with that little cup you catch some nectar here and there, wherever you get. It's good, but it's small. So it's never fully satisfying, but it's good enough to want more. But you're not fully satisfied because you get only little cup. Then, as we are practicing in devotional service, little by little the cup is growing, little by little, and you get little more
nectar.
Huh? Ah, yes. It's good. You don't get it all the time, but every once in a while, gosh, it is good, and it makes it all worthwhile to go on. Then, one day, you get the brilliant idea that instead of just drinking it all myself, I'll give some to someone else. Hey, open your mouth.
Yeah,
open. Yeah. Ooh. Ooh. That was good, huh? Ah, yes. One more, huh? Little, okay. Not bad, yes. And then what's happening? The cup is growing. The cup is growing in size. Now much faster. Because it says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, that when you start to give out the fruits of love of God, which you have received from this bhakti, that, and you give away everything you had, everything, don't hold back. Not like, I'll give him some nectar, but I'm keeping the big pot with nectar here.
Have some nectar.
Want some? No. Give away everything you had, that you wind up with more than you had before. Now the cup is growing, and then the cup becomes like a lota, you know, like, you know, you're like, what? Give everyone with a big pot, like, it's mercy, and it's just growing, and the ecstasy of Sankirtan. That's why I've been saying to you here in the Kirtan Academy, where there are so many harmoniums and so many drums and not so many kartas, but there are. In this place, where there are all these musical instruments, I'm telling you one thing. When I try to do kirtan, I'm not trying to play the instruments. I'm not playing the instruments. I'm playing the people. Ah, like this. It's the ecstasy. It's the ecstasy. And then, yes, then, you know, then we are dancing, and this kirtan party, it's a long caravan, and in the front there is Mahaprabhu and there is Lord Nityananda, and they are dancing, and there is Advaita Acharya, he's the oldest. He is dancing, and there is also Srivas also dancing. Haridas is dancing. Oh, look at them. And then, you know, you see Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, the oldest, still dancing. Yes, and Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami. And then behind them you see Narottam Das Thakur. Oh, he's singing so sweet. Inconceivable. Tears are flowing from everyone's eyes. My God, Narottam. How sweet is he singing? It's just inconceivable. I haven't ever heard anything like Narottam singing. And Janava Mata is there, and she is dancing, and now it's Kateri, and we've moved ahead in time. And it's the festival, which the first one that took place on the appearance day of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu after he left the planet. And it was just an amazing festival. And at one point during that kirtan of Narottam, suddenly the Panchatattva was there. And they were dancing, and everyone saw, and all the devotees just became ecstatic. I mean, nothing like they were already ecstatic with that sweet kirtan. And then everyone danced, and everyone just rolled. And then suddenly, the Panchatattva disappeared. And no one was thinking. Everyone just broke out in tears spontaneously. It just happened. And so many tears were there The ground became like mud. That's what happened. It became like mud. Oh, Kateri. Kateri. And that was not all. That was not all. Meanwhile, an expedition had come from Vrindavan and had brought all the books of the Goswamis. And these books, they were like filled with nectar. And everyone got one. A nectar of devotion for you, a Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, an Upadesha Amrita. Yes, the books of the Goswamis, they came and everyone, and had been copied and everyone got them. Oh, we've got them too. The caravan continues. And there we see Jagannath Das Babaji being carried in a basket. He is carried in a basket. 125 years old, he can barely open his eyes. His eyelids have become too heavy. But he's always chanting the holy name. Constantly. Constantly. And then Srila Jagannath Das Babaji is carried to the birth site of Mahaprabhu, followed by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and jumps out of the basket in ecstasy. He is also jumping in the kirtan. He is also jumping there in that same caravan, and behind him Bhaktivinoda Thakur, round and effulgent, is dancing and dancing, and his son, you know, a ray of Vishnu, Bhaktisiddhanta, is like twirling and like dancing ecstatically. You didn't know that he had it in him. He sings so seriously, so scholarly. But in the kirtan, oh, he became someone else. Someone else. Beyond himself. It reminded of Advaita Acharya and Ramananda Roy, who were both respectable personalities and who were like in water fights. Who were in water fights. Like children. Oh, yes. Through that kirtan, we become like children. We just become like totally creative and enthusiastic. And let's try this. Eh? Let's try that. Let's try this with the voice. Huh? Long note, high note, an intense note, a sweet note, a deep note, mellow note. Let's try it all. These kirtans. Haven't we had so many kirtans? I remember like big wild kirtans where we jumped and jumped, and then at one point we would all lie down on the ground and just continue the kirtan like lying down and just still going strong. And then at one point we'd sit up a little bit and then all together we'd just jump up in the sky again. Have you been in these kirtans? In such kirtans? Ah, yes. If not, still to come. And so many other things to come. Ah. So, behind Srila Bhaktisiddhanta is Srila Prabhupada, and behind him.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot, you know what I mean? It's like, geez, you know, look at them. I mean, they're with Mahaprabhu and with Nityananda, I mean, in that same kirtan, can you believe it? Somehow or other, you know, we're there too. Us, you know, wisdom, you know, I mean, it's just like, sometimes from the front, they're benevolently looking over their shoulder at all those incredible personalities who are at the back of the caravan, you know, and I mean, they're laughing, and look at that, you know, look at what's going on. They see us, you know, the way we move, the way we dress, the way we dance, whatever we do, they laugh, but so benevolently, because they're seeing. Yes, they're chanting. Isn't it amazing? Srila Prabhupada had one godbrother, Krishnadas Babaji. And this godbrother, Akinchan Krishnadas Babaji, and this godbrother was such an amazing personality. He was always chanting.
In fact, there is a short recording that I heard, really short clip, and then he's talking, and in between he's saying Krishna, Krishna, and saying a few words, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Yes, he's talking Hare Krishna, about so many Krishna, Hare Krishna things, and just carry on Hare Krishna talking. He's just chanting and chanting and chanting. And he was ecstatic. And he had so much love for Srila Prabhupada, because he said he had faith in the holy name. He had faith in the holy name. He took the holy name and had full faith. And that's why he was successful. And, yes. So, one time, he was laughing loud. He was laughing. He said, "Oh, you taught them to chant Hare Krishna very loudly." All the devotees, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. He said, "Oh, you taught them to chant very loudly," and he was laughing. And some devotees were there and said, "Oh, is it not good?" And he said, "No, no, it's very nice. It's very nice." So, somehow or other, we are there in that caravan that goes over that path through Sridhar Mayapur, that takes us to the path where rules and regulations are there, but at the same time they're not in the forefront. It's not so important. Yes, the basic rules are there, but it's not like as strict and as difficult as going the path through Vrindavan, the path of slowly, slowly approaching the pastimes of Krishna, and slowly progressing, and slowly developing a little bit of attachment, and slowly turning to the eternal residence. But who am I attracted to? What is it now? Is it Nanda Maharaj or are the cowherd boys? I'm attracted to both. I'm attracted to all of them. I mean, what's my rasa? I don't know. I'm not sure. Geez, what to do? I mean, you know. Yeah, I like colorful cloth, you know, maybe a gopi after all. Who knows, you know what I'm saying? Gosh, you know, what is it? Or am I just a blade of grass? What am I? What am I? Who am I? Who am I? I have amnesia. Who am I? I don't know who I am. Don't worry about that. Here in Mayapur, we don't worry about such things. Join the kirtan, chant the holy name, sit and chant, dance and chant, run around and chant, lie down and chant, take prasadam and chant in between bites. Chant, chant, chant.
Chant, chant, chant.
Chant. It is this kirtan that has been flooding out of Mayapur. Oh, the floods in Mayapur are notorious. Have you been in a flood in Mayapur? I have. Oh my God, you know. I was swimming to Mongol Arctic and I saw this big cobra. Mouse sticking out above the water, and then that cobra went into a tree. You know, a branch was sort of hanging over the water, and they're so fast. And they swim fast too. Jai Pataka Maharaj used to be a very good swimmer. He was practicing and regularly doing water polo in the pukur of the samadhi. Right? And, you know, he was famous for that, playing water polo with the devotees. Right? He did it for years. And I tell you, he was dangerous because he would not play the ball. He would play the man, you know what I mean? And he was big. And he would just come in the water like a whale, you know, and just go on top of you. And you would go down, you know, with this huge, huge mountain of flesh on top of you, down and down and down until you let go of the ball. And then he had the ball. He would always win. He was tough to beat in this game. Yes. water polo, what to say. Yes? He also used to have wrestling matches on the bank of the Ganga, in the mud, you know? Sometimes with three men at the same time. And this time, the same technique. Just lie on top and squeeze them, squeeze them in the mud. What to say. All part of the Sankirtan movement, all part of the same ecstatic activities. Oh, yes. So, the path of Harinam Sankirtan is our path. There's no question, there's no choice. It's not which path shall I go. It is the path of Harinam Sankirtan. Therefore, this Kirtan Academy is very important. Here in Mayapur, we're developing a city, and it's growing, and there will be a Kirtan village. There will be. There is land reserved for the Kirtan Academy. It will not just be here. There will be a nice little village, because the whole world should be encouraged to somehow or other just take up that culture of chanting Hare Krishna and dive in these pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and they will emerge in the ocean of nectar. Prem, this Krishna Prem, it will come. It will naturally come. Very natural. So we are following that process of that Raghunath Das was following. That process. The path of Gopal Guru Goswami is mostly outlined in detail in the writings of his disciple, Janachandra Goswami, who writes an elaborate book, and it's like very meditative. He's very carefully, first he's thanking the earth and begging forgiveness for all his offenses that he makes to the earth. You know? What comes out of this body? He is begging forgiveness. And then he worships the earth. And in all directions he worships and worships and very slowly cultivates the mood of a devotee who is offenseless. Little by little, conquers the offenses within himself. Very difficult to conquer. Very hard. Because the tendencies are so deep. Don't worry about it. Offense is not considered in Mayapur. Just get into the kirtan. Just get absorbed in the chanting of the holy name. So in this way. And that pastime, it will take us to Vrindavan. It will take us there. Because that is where Mahaprabhu's mind is. His mind is Vrindavan. So it will take us Vrindavan. So this I wanted to share with you about Krishna Prem today. If anyone has a question after that storm of words, then you're most welcome. Otherwise, we'll just have kirtan.
Today in Bhagavatam class, one Maharaji gave class, and one Brahmachari asked a question. I mean, he said that one time in the night he was chanting japa really loud, And then he said that one, another devotee caused him not, that he will not be the devotee for all his life. So he didn't understand. Like, and now he said that we should sing and chant loud. And
okay, we should chant loudly. But we should also not disturb the Vaishnavas. So then we have to find a place where we can chant loudly. And but at least we should not chant in the mind. Basically, there are three types of chanting described in the Hari Bhakti Vilas. And the first one is loud. The second one is hardly audible and just moving the lips. And the third one is chanting in the mind. So out loud means Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, as I'm doing now, even without microphone, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. That's loud. Just moving the lips.
Is it good to chant like that?
Hold on. I'm going to explain. And the third one's in the mind. I was really chanting, huh? Just to, so chanting in the mind. It's all good, but it depends who you are. It depends who you are. If you are Kinshan Das Babaji, you know what I mean? Kinshan Krishna Das Babaji, and you chant like hardly audible, you know, and you chant all the time, and you chant lakhs and lakhs of names every day, yeah, then the maybe every once in a while, you know, like some mantras that are not so loudly pronounced, this is fine, you know. But when you are like, you know, Kadambakanana Swami, then you better chant like clear, pronounced, you know, try and hear yourself. Like that. Because Prabhupada said, attentive chanting means to hear yourself chanting. So the essence of this loud chanting is not about Hare Krishna and all that and like, you know, all the devotees. You know, I mean, personally, I can't stand these, I'm sorry about that, but I don't like these programs where we go on a stage and we divide the room in half, you know, and say, Hare! Everybody, Hare! Like at the top of your lungs, louder, louder, Hare! And it's like, ah, it's too intense for me, you know. I just like, oh God, do I have to be here? I think that's also good because, after all, there are living entities who hear that, so they get purified, but there's other living entities who hear it also, who want to go away, that's me. But loud chanting means at least you can hear yourself chanting. Because Prabhupada says, attentive chanting means to hear yourself chanting. Otherwise you have to capture that mind, you know what I mean? That bar of soap, you know, under the shower. It's like of course, bars of soaps are going out, it's bottles now, but try the slippery bar of soap. The holy name, hard to capture. The mind going anywhere and everywhere. That's what you have to. But don't worry about that anymore. Oh, I have to bring the mind back, you know. I mean, okay, Mars, bring it back. You know, the moon, okay, back. You know, the shopping mall, bring it back. Right? The mind. No, do not worry anymore about bringing the mind back. Forget it. It will never be back for long. Just hear yourself chanting. That's all. And the mind will automatically be back. So loud chanting, that's why loud chanting is necessary. And, you know, the Mahabhagavats, whether they chant in the mind or loud. Or it's all extended.